Desert Island Discs.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? Our castaway this week is a famous singer. During a long and very successful career, she earned renown as one of the greatest leader singers in the world. Here is Elena Gerhardt. Well, Madame Gerhardt, the reference books tell me that tomorrow is your 75th birthday. Is that really true?
Yes, I'm afraid it is.
It doesn't seem much of a birthday present for you, casting you away on a desert island. Have you a big collection of records yourself?
Oh, no, not really a big one. I'm not a gramophone fan in collecting, but I choose the records of my most beloved artists.
Mm-hmm. That's the way you're setting about choosing this eight, is it?
Yes, I think so.
What's the first?
Well, first I choose Träumerei by Robert Schumann, played by Pablo Casals, you know, whom I know from his earliest beginnings when I was a student at the conservatory in Leipzig.
Yes.
And I always admired him as one of the most wonderful cellists in the world.
Why do you choose this particular piece?
It is lovely, peaceful and warm, and most beautifully played, I think.
Schumann's Träumerei, played by Pablo Casals. Who's the second artist you've chosen?
Well, I chose Victoria de los Angeles, who is really, for me, the most gifted singer before the public just now, particularly on the concert platform, and in old Italian music and, of course, Spanish. She's just perfect in style and warmth and beauty and simplicity in her production. But what I have chosen is a little gay street song, Clavelitos, which is a famous encore of hers, and she does it with great expression, the different moods of the girl.
Yes. What's the story of the song?
Well, the girl sells carnations in the streets of Madrid to passers-by, and of course approaches everyone differently if he looks rich or poor or anything, because she wants her clavelito sell to everybody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she does, Los Angeles does that very cleverly.
The voice of Victoria de Los Angeles, singing a little Spanish song called Clavelitos. Well, now, Madame Gerhardt, I'm going to ask you some questions about this long career of yours. Let's begin right at the beginning. Where were you born?
I'm born in Leipzig.
Were there any famous musicians in your family, or were
No.
you the first?
No, my whole family sang, but were all musical, but nobody professionally.
Yes.
Except me and my youngest brother.
When did your talent first show itself? Do you remember?
Well, I sang all my life, but I think I made my debut the first day when I came to school and couldn't do any writing or reading or anything. And when the teacher asked me, what can you do, I burst out and said, I can sing. And then he said, all right, come and sing something. And I sang a children's song of winter, what you can do in the snow, with about 6 or 7 verses. And he was so intrigued by my interpretation that he called all the teachers along from the floor, and I had to do it again. Then he insisted up to the end of his life that he had discovered me.
Yes, indeed he had. Well, you studied at the conservatoire in Leipzig,
yes.
Didn't you?
Yes.
Had you already decided when you were studying that you wanted to specialize in lieder?
No, I went to the conservatory for a study of opera.
Mm-hmm.
And then only at the end, when I came first out, I was tried out on lieder.
Yes. When did you make your debut?
On my 20th birthday in Leipzig.
Yes.
When Arthur Nikisch, you know, the famous conductor, accompanied me.
Mm-hmm. I know that first recital was a great success and brought you immediate bookings from all over Germany, is that right?
Yes, so much so that I hadn't enough repertoire to cope with it.
Well, I think we might break off there and have your third record. What's that going to be?
Myra Hess, playing Jesu, Joy of Man's Desire, because I think she's one of the finest musicians amongst the pianists, you know, and I love her warm-hearted playing and enjoy it always.
Myra Hess playing her own piano transcription of Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring. Well, getting back to your career, Madame Gerhardt, you did desert lieder and sing in opera for a short while, didn't you?
Yes, as a guest performer at the Leipzig Opera House, with Nikisch conducting, I think Mignon and Charlottenwerder. Mm-hmm. 8 times each one.
When did you first come to England?
In 1906, I made my debut in Queen's Hall when Misha Elman introduced himself to London.
Yes.
As a filling artist. Mm.
And in all those early years before the war, you came regularly to London, and apart from singing in Paris and St. Petersburg?
Yes, I sang regularly in England. Every year did the Harrison tour through the country and provinces. And, of course, I also went to America in 1912 the first time.
Mm-hmm. Now, you knew all the great artists of those days, the first years of the century, which we now look back on, we now call the Golden Age. Do you think that the standard of singing generally was so much higher than it is today?
No, on the whole, I don't think so. I think the standard is higher now. But, of course, there has always been only a number of famous artists, you know, of really great artists who conquered the world. Mm. And that is just the same now.
Yes, each age has its greats.
It is, yes.
It was during one of your first visits to England that you made your first records, wasn't it?
Yes, in my second, in 1907, I made the first record.
And that began a recording career that lasted nearly 40 years.
Yes.
Well, now let's have another record that you've chosen to take on this island. What's number four?
Well, I would have one of the finest singers during the last 40 years, and that I think was Rosa Poncel, who sang La Forza del Destino and Norma and all these parts. And her singing of the aria at the end of La Forza del Destino is simply wonderful and warm and artistic and faultlessly done. And I love to listen to something like that, you know.
Rosa Poncel singing Pace Pace from Verdi's La Forza del Destino. Well, Madame Gerhardt, even the First World War didn't stop your travels about the world, did it?
No, I even went to America twice, via Holland and via Christiania, and had 2 tours in America, but then I came back and sang all over Europe,
mm-hmm.
in Germany and Scandinavia and the Balkan states and
yes.
all over.
And when did you come back to London again? After the war?
Well, I made my return in 1922 in Queen's Hall.
Yes.
And it was a most moving evening, really. But I was afraid nobody would go and listen to German Lieder yet. But my agent called at me at Southampton and said, you know, I want to tell you something. Queen's Hall sold out when I came from America, he told me. And then came this colossal reception, which is unforgettable. Makes me still get a goose flesh now.
And you've been living in this country now for many
yes,
years, haven't you?
I live permanently here since 1934.
Mm-hmm. I think we'll always remember with gratitude your concerts at the National Gallery during the last war.
Yes, that was a great joy to do, and I was amazed that the English public was so broad-minded and filled the hall each 22 times I sang there.
Singing German Lieder?
Yes.
And now you're teaching, of course.
Yes, I have been teaching a great deal. I still do to a certain amount, but I can't do 7 hours a day any longer, so I just treat myself to most talented pupils.
Well, it's a nice way of looking at it. Well, now, we got to record number 5. What's that?
Well, I would love, when I go on the desert island, to take something along of Yehudi Menuhin, who is my favorite violinist, mm-hmm. ever since he was a child. I know him since he's 12 years old, and I very much love his Beethoven violin concerto. I don't know if the whole concert is allowed, but anyway, I may get the slow movement of it.
Yehudi Menuhin playing part of the second movement of the Beethoven Violin Concerto with the Philharmonia Orchestra conducted by Furt Wagner. Now, what's number 6 going to be?
Well, a record that I enjoy immensely is the Rosenkavalier, and the old-fashioned one, you know, in 78 records.
Yes.
With the great cast of Lotte Lehmann, Elisabeth Schumann, and Olszewska. And particularly the entry of the second act with the presenting of the rose. I think Elisabeth Schumann singing is just beyond description lovely and beautiful. And I heard the first performance of the opera in Dresden with Minnie Nast singing the same part. But she was no comparison to Schumann's.
Yeah.
It's just joy to listen to this second act.
That lovely duet from Der Rosenkavalier, sung by Elisabeth Schumann and Maria Olszewska. Well, Madame Gerhardt, we've got you on this island. During your travels, have you acquired any hobbies or skills that might be useful to you?
I think, as far as the island goes, in question would be my fishing enthusiasm.
You like fishing?
I love it. Yes, because it's a quiet spot, undisturbed. But nobody disturbed me anyway there.
No, afraid not. Well, that's very good. The fishing's going to be very useful. Well, having caught them, are you a good cook?
Well, no, I can't really cook, but I think I could do a fish.
Good. What would you live in?
Well, that's a difficult question. I will be provided with a little hut, I suppose.
Well, it's against the rules, but I'll see if we can't arrange for somebody else's hut to be left standing for you.
Yes. Or the fishermen from the boat that bring me there might have a heart and think we will help the old lady a bit to get a bit comfort.
All right, we'll see what we can do. Let's get back to music, and we've now got to record number 7.
Well, that is to be Caruso's singing of O Paradiso from Meyerbeer's Africana. It's great artistry and warm and passionate temperament. And I just love to hear it over and over again.
O Paradiso, sung by Caruso. Now we come to your last record, Madame Gerhardt. You haven't chosen one of your own records. You wouldn't take one?
Well, I really didn't think I would like to take any. But because listening to them over and over again, you also only find places which annoy you that you could have done better before. But there is one little record which has followed me through my whole career very successfully, and that is a light record, a graceful record, in Abschied, Farewell of a Young Lover from the village where his beloved is left behind. But it's in a gay, happy mood, not a very deep love, but it's a lovely song, and I would like perhaps take this as a reminder of the times when I wasn't banned and had to go to the desert island.
Schubert's song, Abschied. Well, there are your 8 records, Madame Gerhardt. You still have one more choice to make. Every castaway is allowed to take one luxury. What are you taking?
Luxury. Well, I think I would... Is it possible to take some tapestry along, to make some tapestry?
You like making tapestry?
Yes, I have made it all my travelling life.
Surely you shall have a big supply of wools and lots of canvas.
Well, I have to make my own designs there, but that's fun.
Good,
but
good.
There's also a book allowed, isn't it?
Oh, yes, certainly, one book.
One book. Well, I think I will take one of a philosopher, I mean, not to... terribly serious kind, or one I wouldn't understand to argue with. But if I had, for instance, some Goethe book and could argue when he has his talks with Eckermann and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So that would keep my mind going.
Yes, you shall have a handsomely bound
edition.
That would
be very nice.
And thank you very much, Eleanor Gerhardt, for letting us hear your choice of Desert Island Disc.
Well, I love to come here and I enjoyed it. And you have all been very kind to me and helpful, and I thank you very much.
Thank you. Goodbye, everyone.